All right, folks, I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order. Please set your cell phones to stun, and let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. We call roll call. Here.
Here.
Anthony Brunner, absent. Derek Nix.
Here.
Dave Pascal.
Here.
Ron Ware.
Here.
Robert Ochi.
Here.
Lamont Whitaker, absent.
Present. All right, we have quorum. Next up is election of officers for 2020. First up is the chairman. Are there any motions of nomination?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to nominate Bill Baker as chairman.
There's a motion for Baker as chair. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Anybody else?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to nominate Ron Ware for the chairman position.
So there's a motion, I take it, for Ron Ware. Is there a second? So there's a motion for Mr. Ware for chair. Is there a second? Once? Twice? No second? Is there any other motions? Discussion? Vote? Ms. Lambert?
Tom Schlitzky?
Bill Baker, yes.
Tom Gassetti?
Bill Baker.
Derek Nix?
Yes.
Bill Baker, yes.
Dave Pascal?
No.
Ron Ware?
Bill Baker.
Bill Baker, yes.
Yes. All right, next up is the vice chair. Is there any motions for the vice chair?
Mr. Chair, I'd like a motion for the position of vice chair. I'd like to nominate Mr. Robert Ochi for that position.
There's a motion for the vice for Robert Ochi. Is there a second? Once, twice. No second. Is there any other motions for vice chair?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to nominate Tom Olszynski as vice chair.
There's a motion for Tom Olszynski for vice chair. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Any other discussion? None. Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Olszynski?
Yes.
Tom Gassetti?
Yes.
Derek Nix?
Yes.
Dave Pascal?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. All right, next up is the treasurer. Are there any motions to nominate a treasurer?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to nominate Tom Gassetti as treasurer.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. Is there any other motions? Either none. Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Schlitzky?
Yes.
Tom Gassetti?
Yes.
Derek Nix?
Yes.
Dave Pascal?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Next up is secretary. Any motions to nominate a secretary?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to nominate LaVon Whitaker to be secretary.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Is there any other motions? Mrs. Lambert?
Tom Schlitzky?
Yes.
Tom Gassetti?
Yes.
Derek Nix?
Yes.
Dave Pascal?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. All right, so the lineup, Baker, Wyszlinski, Gazdecki, Whitaker. Thank you, everybody. Next up is the approval of minutes from January 22nd, 2020. Is there any motions, modifications, changes? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from January 22nd, 2020.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Let them be out there for all to see. So everybody, please keep in mind at Chairman Reports Next that if you go to the website, not only is the audio of this out there, it will also include the items we discuss, all the things that happened in the past, pictures such as what you see from September 2008, to which what happens when you do not take care of a man-made structure. So as opposed to what happened in the past, we'll continue to work forward not only along the Little Cal, but the watershed to make sure as water flows downhill that we make sure that doesn't happen again. Keep in mind that we're trying to manage Mother Nature, and when you have 10 gallons of water in a 5-gallon bucket, you're going to have some issues. But we're far better prepared than we were prior to the events of September 2008 to be ready to handle that as a community. This, again, is one of the, in my opinion, true economic development projects. By getting this completed as far as the federal project, you're no longer having to pay mandatory federal flood insurance with your mortgage. I think we calculated, what was it, Dan? About $4 million a year that saves, which goes back into our community. These are one of the things that not too many people talk about, but the fact that you guys are here, and ladies, thank you very much. It's an ongoing community effort if there ever was one. Enough of that. Next up is Mr. Repay Your Finance Report. We're going to need to approve the claims for February 2020. We'll need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the claims for February 2020 in the amount of $608,959.35.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay.
Thank you. We'll go through some of the higher valued ones and certainly open to any questions if you need further explanation on some of these other claims. Patrick Engineering for $63,328. That is for the Lake Station levee project between Liverpool and 94. Finalizing plans to do the recreation component as well as the fixing the dam. Ellis Construction for $116,404. That's 5% of the retainage that is now being released for that project. They have stated they should be done by March 10th, weather permitting. Assuming the weather is working, they need to pour a couple of squares of concrete, guardrail, some minor stuff. So we released 5% of the 10% holding back, and that is more than enough to cover if there's an issue. We have a couple of blockages that we fixed through one through Great Lakes Electrical. I'm sorry, that's Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance is our pump stations for $9,984. Northern Indiana Mechanical, before one of the larger events that took place where we were supposed to get a whole bunch of rain, which we did. We got 2.5 to 2.75 inches in a 12-hour period. We had Northern Indiana Mechanical fix two blockages, one being Kennedy Avenue. Oros did the Northcott Bridge, which were both filled with some debris that we needed to take out, especially before that event. We purchased two properties in Lake Station for that project, in Lake Station for the levee, one for $88,009, one for $134,910. I'll take questions on anything else that's out there. $18,696 for a reimbursement back to the City of Crown Point for a project for Sarman Wood Study. That's also shows in your project tracker.
All right, back to the commission. Any questions for Mr. Repay about what's going on in the field?
Yes, I do. I have a couple questions for Mr. Repay. Mr. Repay.
Dave, set him on stun.
That's Siri. You can't control her. She's got a mind of her own.
Okay. Mr. Dan, could you please just tell me that on the Patrick Engineering as professional services, Ellis Construction for the Harrison Street Bridge, and the Barnes and Thornburg Legal Services, I'm wondering, if I'd like to know, did we ever get a report from them regarding minority participation and any of these projects for professional services as well as construction services?
So you want Barnes and Thornburg, Patrick, and what was the third one?
And Ellis Construction in regards to minority participation.
I would say, first of all, Barnes and Thornburg is a retainer, which is, we pay that for our work down in Indianapolis on a lot of our permits. So that would be a no, and no for Ellis or Patrick.
Okay. Can we get that information? Because I think under our contracts or the bids that we put out, don't we require minority participation?
I'll defer to Dave if you...
You don't bid services.
Pardon me?
You don't bid services. Services are not bid. However, Barnes & Thornburg has a diverse number of lawyers, minority lawyers, female, black, etc.
Well, that's great. I just wanted to know if any of them worked for us on any of the projects. I didn't know that. But I am interested to know that that when we give out large contracts like this or professional services, that the Lake County, as well as regular organizations, require minority participation. I'd like to find out, can we start getting reports and start getting information regards and demanding that these particular organizations who we give money to, that they have minority participations in our contracts?
I mean, just my answer is we've tried to pass a fair bidding ordinance for a long time that would strengthen the one that we currently have. I think the definition, and we talked about it in a work study session, is the definition of what is constitute a certified minority or disadvantaged business. Mm-hmm. So I think once we certify, or once we can determine that, I think there's two definitions, and I know Mr. Ochi's does this a lot for his business, so I think we need to determine what that definition is of who is a certified business, who is, because being a minority-owned business and being a certified minority business are two different things.
I understand that.
Okay, then, but that's what we need to determine.
Okay, but the question is that I like to see from now on that anytime we give out any contracts, that we like to see that these particular contracts have minority participation. That's it.
What would be the threshold?
We can follow the guidelines that we have by the county or either by the state.
No, I mean, I'm talking as far as what size contract. I mean, the contract,
anything
for someone that's taking aluminum to the recycling, that's, you know, a $3,000 contract. I'm being serious. You look at all of our different contracts, we have several, so.
I know, but just give it an example. The contract we have with Ellis Construction, really for that bridge, is about $2.5 million. So, I mean, at least I'd like to see that if there's any minority participation on those construction contracts, that's all.
So over $100,000?
From this day going forward, from any contracts on any construction projects that we give out in for the watershed project.
Okay, we're talking about the invoices, so we could do that later. So is that an invoice question?
I think it is, yes it is.
Okay. Any other questions on the invoices?
Yeah, several. Mr. Repay, regarding Garcia.
Yes.
They have a little typographical error. I'm looking at their invoice 11166, which is about the sixth line item down, maybe one, two.
I need my cheaters, clearly.
Sixth item down in the amount of $1,728.90 is listed on the accounting summary. I'm looking at the invoice amount of $1,428.90.
Any other questions on the invoices? Either or not, we have a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Kaczynski.
Yes.
Tom Kaczynski.
Yes.
Derek Hammett.
Yes.
Dave Casalano.
Yes.
Ron Ritter.
Yes.
Robert
Ochi.
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes, paying the bills. Gotta like it. Next up, Mr. Repay, Executive Director Report. What is happening as far as projects?
Well, it's the winter time, so a lot of it is mainly the paperwork style, but we're finalizing the design for the Lake Station levee. We discussed that in our work study session as to what we're going to go forward with and how we're going to address it. So that's something that Patrick is working on currently. We are working with also the school city of Gary as far as acquiring property that they own that we may need or we do need in Lake Station. Mitigation projects, as you know, it's wintertime, no activity. Our pump station security is being implemented as we speak, should be complete by the end of this month. We are acquiring the property that we need to by the core standards that they require for easements for pump stations and regular acquisitions inside the levee that have been languishing since the 90s. Hard ditch repairs, those are the repairs that you guys have funded to the tune of $1 million, and we're working through Lake County as well as partnering with the town of Munster to fix. Those projects have all had their pre-construction meetings. They are waiting for the opportune time to get into Hart's Ditch and make those fixes. Those are three separate projects. One's Twin Creeks, one is at 45th and Camellia, and the other one is in the Independence Park area. That's a three-segment issue. Don't want to talk about that one. We're going to have that's eight applications from five communities that will be in front of our advisory board. Our next meeting, just so I mean, we're going to go to it. We're going to be meeting in Crown Point. The location is yet to be determined. Our advisory board is going to meet at a location. It's going to be a Bulldog Park, and we're going to see if that's going to be conducive to us having this full meeting there. So we'll know that after Tuesday's meeting. We have four bids here for the culverts under I-94 to be cleared, and we are continually looking for new funding sources for the Kennedy Avenue Bridge, so that we can move forward with that. It's a complicated situation with the Community Crossings Grant because we don't own the bridge, so we can't apply for the grant because the county does, and the county had other applications that were higher ranking than Kennedy Avenue, so we're trying some other different avenues. We're anticipating our every three-year state audit by the State Board of Accounts, and we did an internal audit through a contractor that sort of prepares us for that. So Jody spent her President's Day doing an audit. So
lucky her.
Good fun. Other than that, we're still, as you guys have seen, Christopher Burke is working on the project to shore up or to cut back the levee by Wicker Park. And we've got a couple proposals that we're fixing some of the closures in Gary through a firm that will have some help with the railroads, as well as we're going to get the arc flash engineering study done. We were deficient in that in our last inspection, and it should be compliant at our next inspection, which will start in May. May 4th this year will be our first inspection, and we will begin at the NDOT I-65-94 corridor. So anyone interested in going on those inspections, it's a good time. That's all.
All right, back to the commission. Any questions for Mr. Repay? All right, I'll give you a chance to something good. The internal audit, how many state audits have we gone through since we got some money?
So we've been through three, and the reason why it hasn't been every year, because when in 08 they took it over, when the law changed in 12, right? Mm-hmm. So in 12 it changed to we're going to have an audit every year. The State Board of Accounts, because we're considered special, we're now have to be audited every 3 years because they, I mean, this is my word, they don't have enough auditors to do it, and we're a pretty straightforward operation. So
with all that history, tell me the stat that we should be most proud of as it relates to how we handle the money as far as how they grade it.
Well, since we have been here, since I've been here, that's 10 years now, we had a clean audit, which means there are no findings. I think the only finding that they, I don't even know, they really haven't had any findings. They've had suggestions. And when they do have suggestions, we bring them to the board, mainly for the treasurer to make sure that they approve the claims and they sign off. I mean, we have internal controls. The internal controls are the fact that you two both have to sign it of any claim before it gets approved. So if they offer us any suggestions, they're mainly just minor, something that they have found along the course of doing all the other states, special districts, and then we just sort of bring them those to you, and you add those to your motions, or you approve the internal controls that we have. So, but there has been no findings. Everything's balanced. Everything is tied together. I don't know what else there is exciting about it, but
it's not exciting.
Fun process.
All right, clean audits. That's good. We'll go for another one. Any other questions? Giddy up, moving right along. Next up is other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to open bids for the 1894 Culverts Inspection Project and award to the lowest and most responsive bidder pending review by attorney and staff.
Second.
There's a motion and a second, so it's pretty self-explanatory, right, Dan? Can you talk in open or no? So, and no, right? So,
yeah, official no ball state.
No.
Yeah, so that I'm really in trouble. Can someone hold this for me? This is a project that we have to do 4 or 5 years to clean out the culverts underneath 94 to make sure that the culverts are a good functioning order.
That's why you have a stand.
Oh,
yeah, you know, I mean, let the business school management guy tell you how to do it, right? So
is this how it works?
Yeah.
All right.
You can even raise it up so you don't have to
show up. I need to go to a chiropractor. So we make sure that not only the culverts are functioning, but the water is flowing properly. And so for NDOT, it's like super glued shit. Like, tells you that I didn't do it. So that not only for NDOT's purposes that 94 is functioning and doing well, but it's also for the purposes of our purpose, and that is to make sure that the water makes it through the system the way it needs to.
Right, so this is 4 culverts underneath the expressway, close to what north-south road?
It's between Clark and Martin Luther King, closer to Clark Street.
So in the city of Gary. Correct. And then there's 4 of them. About how long? That's a cool stat.
I think it's 520 feet.
520 feet long, and then how tall are they?
I believe they're 8 feet.
Each are 8 feet.
So we give tours in the middle to offset the cost of
this. So even you can walk right under there without ducking,
yeah.
Huh?
Well, can I carry the microphone with me?
That's really uncomfortable. Like that,
yeah. It's really uncomfortable. So just keep on clustering here.
When was the last time that we did this?
It's 2016.
4 years?
17.
Right. So this is part of our ongoing maintenance as it relates to taking care of this, even though, is that inspected by the Corps?
We have to send the videotapes to the Corps. The Corps generally doesn't come out here and take the tour with us. Yeah. They do the video.
But is it a part of their inspection every year as it relates to making sure we don't have to pay mandatory flood insurance with our mortgages?
That's correct. What they do is they make sure that it works, and if it is working, just like when we do the deep tunnel off of Katie Marshing through Griffith, that is required as well. So if it doesn't, we need to fix it. And
right. 8 feet tall, 500 feet long, there's 4 of them, and we need to clean them out.
Right.
So what's...
We're done filibustering, now I can get my hands back here.
All right.
So in no specific order, the first one, and I was told to speak slowly because someone in the back needs to write faster. So the first one is from Gary up. Their total is $379,900. $379,900. John, you okay back there?
Perfect.
All right, good. Not that he was the one that was concerned. The second one is from Hasse. They are $282,165. The third one is from LGS. They came in with a total of $462,945. That's B. $462,945. Sorry, I'm calling bingo. I feel like I'm into it now. The final one, which is Grimmer. Grimmer's proposal unofficially is $573,362. These are all subject to engineer's approval and review by our attorney. So those are the unofficial numbers as I have seen them on the bid forms.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you for teaching me how to speak without my hands.
Yeah, it's called a stand. Mm-hmm. All right. Other new business. Mr. Ware.
None at this time.
Mr. Wyszulski.
Are we going to act upon these bids that have been opened?
Yeah. Hey, I think his motion was to open and award the most responsive bidder.
Okay. Do we vote on it?
Really?
Yeah. All right, let's vote on it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tom Bezzetti.
Yes.
Derek
Nix. Yes.
Dave Castellano.
Yes.
Ron Ware.
Yes.
Robert
Ritchie. Yes.
Woody
Baker. Yes. Anything else? Good. Mr. Gazdag.
Nothing to
add. Mr. Nimitz.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Ochi.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Castellanos.
Yes, I got it.
You're happy you're last now.
Oh, of course. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
I just want to report the fact that on that last radio show that we had for the commission, we had the two.
What station?
WJOB.
Oh, okay.
WLTH and JOB consigned together. But anyway, the point I'm making is that we had two trappers on from the commission, and they were such a delight to have on the radio that we got the calls that we got from individuals, especially from senior citizens, that they would like to make, they would like to tour the Little Cal and the watershed. And so I got a contact from the housing commissioner, and I'd like to know if we could arrange something for them to, senior citizens, to take a tour of the watershed and to see what it has off the offer. So all in all, it was great. So looking forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, anything else, Mr. Wickman?
Nothing to add.
All right, my favorite part, statements from the floor. If you'd like to help us make sure things like September 2008 don't happen again, please come up to the microphone, state your name and address, and please help. That was a familiar face I haven't seen in a while.
Yeah,
yes,
good
sir.
Afternoon, members of the Little County Member of the Basement Development Commission. My name is Jason Reeves. I do some writing in terms of the Hearn Foundation, which is an endowment of business and engineering solutions. As it applies to the Little Cadman River, contrary to the Grand Cadman River and various small lakes, at this present time, the Little Cadman River is cresting. It's the level of water is cresting. And even though we have a bad winter, it's something critically important to recognize in terms of stormwater effects. You have places such as parks, park areas, which you discussed. You have little Lake Sandy Joe, which is a pretty good park for a number of people to enjoy themselves. And you got the Black Oak area of Gary, which is somewhat non-existent due to flooding from the Little Cadman River. I mean, people just can't live through that. And it's a very complex issue throughout certain parts of Gary to really correct properly. So I think one of my opinions is that monitoring the river in those areas, contrary to maybe what goes on in Munster, what may go on in Hobart. I mean, Hobart has a dam. Munster's level of the river is quite deep. There's depth. But the depth of the Little Cadman River in Gary, it's at a dangerous level. And some people don't care about it. Some people don't worry about it, but I mean, once the water controls most of that area, it's going to destroy trees, it's going to destroy wildlife, it's going to destroy certain parts of the infrastructure. I mean, you actually talk about bridges and whatnot, and Chase Street is at the point where it shouldn't be obsolete. I mean, it shouldn't be completely blocked off.
That's not our responsibility, sir.
Well, it's blocked off due to the flooding. That's when they blocked it off. It was flooding from the Little Calumet River in 2008, as you say.
Mm-hmm.
So, it shouldn't have been totally ignored. I mean, the observation of it is that certain things could have been done a little better. And I hope you can recognize that.
Oh, amen to that. You can see the pictures right there about that.
Yeah, it's right there. I mean, I've seen it, studied it. And, you know, we didn't have a bad season of rain and snow.
But we are monitoring the entire system. You're fairly aware of that, correct?
They
were monitoring the full length of the system. You are, and it's inspected every year by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Right.
You're familiar with that. And they're all posted on the website.
Right. Well, I got so much to do, I don't always go to the website.
But I
go to the river quite a bit, and I understand that the width of it is extended. So,
yes, sir.
You know, the width of it, as well as the level of water that rises at one time you could be somewhere around Park Road here and there and Gary, and the level of water would be almost 10 to 15 feet below the bridge. At this present time, it's probably about 6 to 5 feet below the bridge. So that gives you an indication that this water is rising. Now, maybe it's contained pretty good, that's one thing, but we haven't had an extremely extensive part of bad weather where an enormous amount of rain has really caused an effect to that river.
Yes, sir. We have, but yes, I understand what you're trying to say. How can we help?
Well, I would hope you just keep recognizing it. I have to recognize it from time to time, and a number of people in the community do, because some of those people are getting too old to really try to figure out what to do. And, you know, if someone thought about development in an area, they would have to try to work to contain that area. I mean, you would have to bring in some construction companies, some engineers, and yes, it takes a little money, but yes, it improves the area. So
yes,
thank you very much, and you know, those are some critical values and ideas that I hope you can take into consideration.
Thank you, sir, yes.
You're welcome.
Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Alva Muhammad, and this is my first meeting, and I wasn't planning on speaking tonight, but Mr. Castellano suggested that I should introduce myself and the reason why I'm here. I am here because I am a Gary resident, have been since 2015, and I'm married to a man who lived in Gary his entire life. And when we moved here, he explained to me about the artesian well on Chase Street. And I've spoken with Mr. Castellanos, I've spoken with Mr. Repay a couple of times, but we have formed an organization called the Gary Food Council, and we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and our mission is to provide solutions to improve fresh food access through every Gary neighborhood. And we work in partnership with the Northwest Indiana Food Council and several other organizations, and what we would like to do is to work with the commission to take the artesian well from something of an eyesore with a history and make it a destination for people throughout Northwest Indiana. And to do that, we need the help of the commission to move forward. We've pulled together a pretty large group of individuals and organizations who are interested in linking the well to the trail that goes along the levee, and bringing other assets to the area, and ultimately developing it into a demonstration farm that would offer urban farmers and small farmers throughout Northwest Indiana the opportunity to come and learn how to grow the things that we need to grow to keep our money local so that we can supply stores like Strack and Van Til and Myers and other local retail establishments with food that was grown in Northwest Indiana. And we will also be using a portion of the land with your support and assistance to set aside some acreage to grow food for donation to area food pantries, because there's a great need in Northwest Indiana that is not necessarily spoken of regularly or openly. But the goal would be to serve everyone who uses the well. We've documented participants who come and drink water from that well from as far away as Valparaiso. So we know that it has a deep, deep rooted history in the community, and we want to take it and make it an attraction similar to others in Indiana and Michigan and make it a place that people in Gary can be proud of. So I thank you very much for your time, and with your permission, I would like to begin to work with the commission to find out how we can move forward and how we can make the improvements. We would like to start a capital campaign to start to raise some private funding to help this happen. So again, my name is Alva Muhammad, and if you have any questions, I'll hand out my card on the way out, but feel free to contact me at any time. So thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else?
I would like to make a comment in regards to Ms. Muhammad's presentation. I have worked within a number of soup kitchens and pantries in the city of Gary, and they have ran out of food. I mean, actually run out of food to serve people, Brothers Keep especially. And I think what their organization can do is to grow food and to pick up the slack that they're not getting. So I'm hoping that the commission here honors her request and maybe grant them the land that they need, because they're going to do all the work and all the maintenance in order for them to take care of the people who are less fortunate in the Northwest Indiana. And I'm not just talking about African Americans, I'm talking about Latinos as well as whites and anybody else who lives in the Northwest Indiana also. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, thank you. Next meeting is set for March. March Madness, the 18th. March 18th, it's going to be in Crown Point going on the road. So please check the website as far as the specific location in Crown Point, and we'll entertain a motion. Motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, yay.
Aye.
Thank you for helping us, everybody. Be safe. Have a great month.